This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature, how to improve our love, relationships, finances, careers, and mental and physical health. And today's topic is one that I think is very important for today's world. Are you angry and frustrated? How to recapture your peace, calmness, and love in turbulent times. And unfortunately, a lot of people are angry and frustrated these days. The virus, isolation, economic issues, social issues. People are feeling discontented, frustrated, and angry. So how do we deal with that? And today's topic will help you with that. First of all, think about what makes you mad? What makes you angry in the world? Maybe you're having trouble in your relationships, your finances. You get angry at other people who are difficult to deal with. Maybe the world makes you angry, the current situation. The first thing we need to think about is, what is the source of people's mindset when it comes to anger and other emotions? In psychology, we have a theory called the locus of control, which tells us that some people look at things internally, others look at things externally. A person with internal locus of control will believe that what happens to them is largely a basis of their ability and their efforts. I worked hard, I'm smart, I can overcome things. People with external locus of control often think it's other people, circumstances, even luck that has to do with what happens to them in life. Research shows that people with internal locus of control often have better mastery over their emotions. They can master their anger, they can be more calm, peaceful, relaxed, and also have more self-confidence because they know they can do something no matter what difficulty or obstacle they face. They can change their mindset, have a meditative or spiritual practice, talk to people, seek help in different ways to improve their life. Now, one important thing that deals with anger is the idea of frustration, not getting what you want in life. And we often see this in relationships. In the beginning of a relationship, everything about the person is wonderful. We project an image of what we want on that person. But then as we get to know them, we start to get irritated at them, annoyed at their little idiosyncrasies, their bad habits, the things they do around the house, the ways of talking to us or dealing with us. So that we start to see them now in black and white. You know, you're very selfish. You always think about yourself. We forget the good qualities of the person, the things we fell in love with. So one thing that you can do when this starts happening is to, in the midst of your frustration with someone that you care about, maybe a mate, a partner, a spouse, is to think of what are the things I'm grateful for in having this person? What are the things I fell in love with? Maybe they're kind-hearted, good sense of humor, loyal, smart, funny, great provider, attractive. Whatever it is that brought you to that person, the chemistry, emotional, physical, sexual chemistry, is still there, and you can be appreciative of it, gratitude toward it, even in the midst of the frustration you have for the other things that you may not like about the person. And that will have you change a little bit of your mindset into more of an appreciation. The other thing that can affect your aggressiveness, anger, is what we call your frustration tolerance. Do you have a low, high frustration tolerance? When things go wrong, when something breaks down at a machine, when you get into a traffic jam, we have to wait in line, do you get easily impatient, angry, frustrated, or are you more calm and patient and say, well, things will work out? People with a low frustration tolerance often become very angry because they can't really deal with the things that change in life. So the idea is if you can look at the world and things that happen to you and also your emotions as waves in an ocean. The waves go up sometimes. Sometimes things work out well for you. People follow through on what they're going to say they will do. You get good fortune. Things happen that are good in your economics and relationships. Other days, things are bad. People disagree with you. You have annoying interactions. Things break down. Sometimes you're happy and excited. Other times you're sad and irritated. But those are waves and they come and go. So you can develop a balance and realize that things will change often in a positive direction if you have the expectation and the waiting ability. Now, one interesting theory in psychology is called the frustration-aggression hypothesis. That tells us that frustration often leads to aggression if we're frustrated in a goal that we value, something that's important to us. So think of a basketball player at the end of the game. They're called a foul that they feel is unjust, and they lose the game. They're going to be mad and probably yell at the referee because of that. And as a result, their frustration led to aggression. Now, there are some what we call caveats or exceptions to the frustration rule, aggression rule. For example, sometimes you're not aggressive to the person that you're frustrated at. Sometimes you displace that aggression. For example, the husband comes home mad because the boss yelled at him. Now, he can't yell at the boss back because he could get fired, so he yells at the wife. The wife yells at the oldest son. This oldest son yells at the youngest daughter. She kicks the dog. The dog bites the cat. The cat eats the mouse, and the mouse is done. So nothing they can do. But this happens many times where people displace their anger onto someone that is maybe less powerful than they are. Spouses come home angry at work and get take it out on each other or their children. And that's not a healthy thing. The other thing that we see is, what is the value that the aggression has? Sometimes it has value in defending yourself. Maybe you're being bullied and you can become angry and aggressive in some ways to defend yourself. So that has actually a positive value when you are aggressive in that way. Also, gender has a role to play in aggression and frustration. Males, when they're frustrated, tend to be more aggressive than females. Also, both men and women are more aggressive when they're frustrated with the same sex, men to men, women to women. Another factor that can affect the frustration and aggression dynamic is the anonymity. Are you anonymous? Do people know who you are when you're being aggressive? In one study, they found that drivers who had tinted windows were more aggressive drivers. They drove faster and cut corners. In another study in Gettysburg College, they found that students who were not identified and were anonymous were more likely to engage in cyberbullying, bullying their other students because they were anonymous. No one knew who they were. And finally, people wonder, is it good to express anger? In some ways, it's good to express at least your ideas about it. But if you express anger, if you start to hit things and even be violent, that can actually increase your aggression. It doesn't really lead to what's called catharsis, which is a release of emotions that make you feel better long-term, maybe in the beginning, but long-term, it can create a cycle of violence where more anger and aggression leads to more anger and aggression. Now, of course, some anger is positive if it has to do with righting social injustice, defending victims, and helping other people that are being bullied. But if it's not controlled, if it's not monitored, anger within yourself can lead to physical violence, hurting other people, destruction of property. It can lead to health issues, both physical, high blood pressure, heart disease, as well as mental health, depression, irritability, and anxiety. So in our society today, let's talk about how we can develop some peaceful and calm and loving solutions. How do we transform negative and destructive anger into positivity and love? The first thing we need to do is what we call an anger analysis. Ask yourself, you can also write this down, what are the things that make me angry, or the people or situations? What gets under my skin? And then rate those triggers between the levels of 0 to 10. 10 being the strongest anger producing. Maybe you have a friend or family member that says certain remarks to you, sarcastic, makes fun of something about you that makes you very angry. Maybe it's waiting in long lines, people that drive bad on the road, traffic jams, people who are rude to you in customer service situations. Whatever it might be, write it down and realize when and how you get angry in terms of these triggers. Number two, when you're tempted to react with aggression and anger because you're triggered, ask yourself, am I acting from my higher self? Your higher self is your more noble, loving, peaceful self. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're tempted to flip someone off on the road, that cut you off or yell at them. And that's not really your higher self. That's maybe a lower part of you that wants to react with aggression. But it's not really helping or healing. And later on, you're going to regret it. So if you ask yourself, am I going to regret this later? And the answer is yes. Then you want to back down and probably not do that. Also, give yourself a space between the frustration and the reaction. Many times people react very quickly. Someone says something and they immediately flare back and they get into a big argument and maybe say things of regret. So when you're with a loved one or someone close to you and you're having a heated discussion, you can say, I'm going to take a time out right now. I'm going to go somewhere, maybe take a walk, exercise, then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about it. So you might want to actually do physical exercise, which is great for releasing endorphins to help you calm down and relax your mind. A spiritual practice, maybe spend a little time in nature, and then come back when your mind is calmer and then take it up where you left off with the other person. As long as you tell them what you're doing, they can be understanding about it and they can probably do the same if they're being heated as well. Another thing you can do is create what's called a mantra. A mantra is a repetitive special phrase. Every time you feel angry, for example, I'm okay. This too will pass, whatever obstacle or frustration you have. I can get better. And the more you practice this, the more you will have this internalized in your head. So when you have an angry situation, frustrating situation, you can bring it to your mind and help yourself relax. Something else that we often do here, Reggie, my producer, is this exercise called tighten and relax. So this is one where we're actually going to tighten our muscles and breathe deeply and then relax. So let's try it right now, Reggie. I want you to take your arms out, shoulder length apart with your fist clenched, and take a deep breath and hold it very tight, very tight. And then I want you to exhale, let your body relax, let it drop. More, there you go, Reggie. Let it drop like a rag doll. Okay, Reggie, one more time. You're a little stiff there. you're a little robotic. Okay, let it go. One more time. So inhale, bring your arms out, shoulder length apart, clench your fist, hold your breath. And then exhale, let your body drop. You feel like a rag doll, like you have no energy. How do you feel, Reggie, when you do that?
Great.
Okay. You had too much fireworks, it looks like. I think you're a little uptight there. Oh, yeah. So we need to relax. So this is a great exercise. In psychology, we call this progressive muscle relaxation, where we control our muscle, tighten it, and then relax it, and also have breathing with it. This is a great way to relax. You can do this 5 or 10 minutes a day, maybe a couple times a day, whenever you're tense or stressed at work or at home, and it can help you relax. Another important thing to think about in dealing with anger or aggression is to learn the reverse lesson of angry people. Have you ever been around someone who, when they get angry, their face turns red and their fists clench, and you can see that they're really suffering from their own anger? In fact, they look kind of silly or ridiculous, you know, kind of like Donald Duck with that red face and kind of explodes and all that. And there are unfortunately people like that, and they don't realize how much they're hurting themselves, or their blood pressure is going up and they're out of control of themselves. So say to yourself, I don't want to be like that person. I'm going to be opposite of that. I'm going to be a calm, peaceful, relaxed person. Sure, sometimes I might get irritated and I can be aware of that. I can see it in my mind. Maybe I think of it as a color, maybe the color red. And I can say, I'm not that color red. I'm someone much better than that, much more relaxed, much more peaceful. So that gives you the feeling that you are someone that wants to be higher than the angry person. Another thing you can do is create a calm down kit. If you like artwork or crafts, you can get a little box and decorate it and put in stuff in there that can help you relax. Maybe some rocks that are very soothing, some mineral, maybe scented lotion, a picture of a beautiful place, a beach scene, mountaintop, a CD with very relaxing music, or spiritual writing that can help you give you perspective on things. So whatever it is you want to put in there to help you calm down, think of it as your little kit for calmness and peace, and bring it out whenever you feel tense and stressed and angry. Also, we were talking earlier about the internal locus of control, how you can believe that what happens to you, to a large part, is based on what you can do about it, the way you perceive it and your actions and results. So let's say you're in a traffic jam and you're getting kind of upset and stressed. You have to go be somewhere on time. What you can do is listen to some relaxing music, some beautiful music, maybe an inspirational podcast. How about Love University or something like that, where you can actually calm yourself as you're in this traffic jam. In the midst of it, you can maintain internal locus. You can do something at that very moment to change your perception, how you experience the moment. Instead of being frustrated or angry, you can start to say, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to be a little relaxed and calm. Another thing that can help you when you're in the midst of the anger and aggression and frustration is to develop empathy toward the other person that maybe you believe is making you feel angry or frustrated. So if that person cuts you off on the freeway or driving too slow, you might have a tendency to yell at them or get angry internally. But you can say, well, perhaps they're having a bad day. Maybe they had a fight with their spouse, or they're worried about their children or finances. Maybe they lost their job due to the virus. So empathy is putting yourself in the other person's shoes so you can start to feel as they feel. Even if it may not be exactly 100% accurate, you can start to get a picture that that person is human. Maybe they're flawed just like you are, just like all of us are. We have our weaknesses, and we have moments when we lose our temper or do things we regret. But we also can be loving. We also can be forgiving at the same time. So the more empathy you have toward other people who are irritable toward you or act in certain bad ways that you don't like, you can have more acceptance and understanding of what they're doing, and also forgiveness. Another thing that's very useful is a technique called matching and leading. Let's say you're talking to a person who's very aggressive and yelling at you. And now you have a tendency either to yell back, fight back, or maybe you withdraw. You kind of be intimidated by them. Now, in the soft martial art of Aikido, the answer is neither to aggress nor to try to get away, but is to join the person's energy and then redirect it in a different direction, a more positive direction. So you would get a hold of their hand and then have them follow you a certain way in this particular martial art technique. In terms of argument, someone is yelling at you to say, you do this all the time. You can respond, you're telling me I do this all the time. I do care about you. So you've actually used the same tonal quality, but you've softened the words. And they might be stopping for a second. Wait a minute, what are you saying? You say you care about me. And then you soften and you say further, I can sense that you feel hurt right now. So by doing this, what you've done is you've transformed the dynamic. Instead of one that escalates conflict where you're fighting with them and raising your voice, in anger and attacking them, you raise your voice temporarily just to match their quality, and then you lower it to lead them where you want them to go, which is more of a peaceful and calm state. This can be a tremendously powerful tool to diffuse people's anger, because when people are angry, they're kind of robotic. They kind of go into this mechanical reaction where they don't really control themselves. It's the little anger goblin inside, the little anger, a little demon that is pushing them to be angry, like little Donald Duck. So by diffusing them, now you're laughing, Reggie. What's so funny about that?
Just this little idea, this little demon trying to make you mad.
Okay, this little goblin, this little Donald Duck in your head, right? With the red face. And actually, that's a good way, Reggie, because that diffuses the anger into humor.
Right.
Now, humor is one of the best ways to diffuse anger, to distract a person from that. So maybe if you can sell a little humorous joke or something in the right way, it can also change things within yourself. And let's say that you're in a situation where you are stuck with a person who's aggressive. Maybe your boss, and you can't leave the job right now because of economic problems. Or maybe a spouse, and you can't really divorce or leave them because of also financial, maybe the kids or other reasons. So you have to deal with them for a period of time. So the best way is to think of them as being a wild animal in a zoo. When you go to the zoo, you might see a lion, and the lion is roaring and making a lot of noise. But the good news is that there is a cage that surrounds it, and that protects you from that lion. You're perfectly safe. So think of that person that's yelling at you, or that aggressive person, as someone who's like an animal, wild animal. They can't control themselves at this moment. And you're protected because they can do nothing to harm you. Your inner core, your self-worth, your self-esteem is protected by an outward fence that separates you from that person or that individual who's very aggressive and angry. So start to detach yourself, especially if you're a highly sensitive person that can feel hurt by these aggressive attacks. Visualize that fence that's protecting you from that, and you will feel much more safe and secure. And really, the bottom line here is anger and frustration can be defeated or reduced by what we call love without expectation, which we talk about a lot at Love University, is to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. The higher nature could be whatever you believe in, God, a higher power. It could be being a good person, compassion, or nature. And believing that this higher nature can take care of you, that can provide you security and comfort, and can give you the best antidote to anger and frustration. In fact, one of the most powerful ways to see anger is as inverted fear or reverse fear. Fear is a belief that something will be taken from you. You will lose something valuable. Many times people lash out in anger because they fear that they're going to lose their respect, property, something important to them, relationships. And it's a way to protect themselves in some ways, to deal with that frustration and fear. So when we have love, love fills in the gap. When you love other people without expectation, when you smile at them, help them, listen to them, you extend that loving energy outwardly, so there is no fear. And when you don't have fear, then there is no anger. There is no frustration. So this is one of the best things we can do, especially now in our society today, where we're struggling with the worldwide virus and fear and uncertainty, injustice, disease, and other problems. Love can be the bridge. And Love University, our goal is to help eradicate loneliness by the year 2025. And I believe that goal is actually even closer than we ever thought, because everyone now is united as one in our pain and suffering, but also in our hope and our love and expectation. Everyone is in the same boat. And at Love University, our goal is to build a worldwide community where everyone can help each other, contribute to each other, and love each other. So if you would like to be part of our Love University community, you can like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Love Letter U Podcast. Subscribe to us at Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Contact us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com and call us at 310-226-8090. If you have any show ideas, if you want to be on the show, any contributions you have, we'd love to have you on board. And again, the idea is extend love your energy without expectation and learn how to be aware of your anger and frustration and transform it into something positive. Use anger to right social ills, to change the world if you need to, but at the same time, bring love and joy into your everyday existence. Until next time, Love University students, please put away your notebooks, your iPads, your iPhones, and go out with the sword of love to conquer anger and fear this week. Until next time, Dr. Avila.